Welcome to the feature match area of Pro Tour San Juan 2010. It is round 14. Two fantastic matches to bring you. We begin with Frank Karsten of the Netherlands in 18th place. He is on 10 wins and 3 losses. He has opened with Celestial Colonnade, Island, Plains and Plains. And he faces, also on 10 wins and 3 losses, from the United States, David Ochoa, who is in 15th place, part of the ChannelFireball.com crowd. Talked to him before the weekend started and said, you know, everyone's surprised when you're not the man doing it for Channel Fireball. Is it your time? He said, well, we'll see. And he's opened up with some lands and Lotus Cobra, but Frank has gone with Day of Judgment to get rid of the Lotus Cobra. So Karsten now casts Wall of Omens and draws a card. Looking at Raging Ravine and Island on the other side of the table, lays land number 5. Let's take you to the other match we've got for you. And this is the leader of Pro Tour San Juan after 13 rounds on 12-1 from France. It is Guillaume Matignon. He has opened up with double Misty Rainforest turning into an Island and Forest. And he is playing Brad Nelson of the United States at 11-2, currently in the virtual top 8 in 5th place. And Brad has opened up with Jiraga Tree Speaker, the green leveler that produces mana. And level up, first counter goes on, he taps that for 2, his Nest Invader and a spawn token comes along for the ride. So about we go for turn 3 to Guillaume Matignon from Team Lotus Noir, the French Magic magazine. He lays Raging Ravine, and that's a Nest Invader of his own, so Eldrazi spawn on both sides as we head back to Brad. Now, Brad is playing a deck that he audibled into. He's been testing with Team Channel Fireball, and he decided to audible into the Zvi Moshevitz team deck as he cast Kozilek's Predator. So that is going to run out another couple of Eldrazi spawn. Those cards are in really high demand this weekend. So Brad already with 6 in play. Here's Kalni Garden tap. So can I have a little plant there? Thank you so much. And he passes the turn back to Matignon. So Matignon draws for the turn. Raging Ravine, Forest Island, Eldrazi Spawn, and Nest Invader. We are getting to the sharp end here because, well, possibly Matignon's right on the verge of top 8 as things stand. He runs out Seagate Oracle, 1-3 for 3. He gets to look at the top 2 cards. One of them will go into his hand. One will head for the bottom of the library, and that is Matignon done. So Nelson with plenty of mana, and he says, here is Beastmaster's Ascension, attack, 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 and that is going to be good enough for game 1. And game 1 is also done in Karsten against Ochoa. Frank got his way up to Sphinx of Lost Truths. And that was it. Ochoa really struggling for land, couldn't find it. And in just 5 or 6 minutes, Karsten leads by 1-0. Well, those are very quick games and not quite what we'd expect from this format, dominated largely by blue-white control. Let me take you through some of the scores with 3 rounds to go. As I say, Matignon is on his own at the head of affairs at 12-1. Now, the group that are 11-2 include Brad Nelson, and then several players you will know, and one I suspect you will not. The players you may know, Josh Utterleighton Raptor from Magic Online, part of the Channel Fireball community. From Japan, Kotaru Otsuka. The Taiwanese player who was well in contention, 7-1 overnight, still going nicely at 11-2. This is Su Ching Kuo. Has not got a Pro Tour top 8 to his name, but is the leading lifetime Pro Point player from Taiwan. And then we head on down. The player that you will not know, I believe, is from Italy, and his name is Andrea Girola. We have not yet really found out much about him at all, but he is doing a fantastic job. He's comfortably at the top of the 11-2s on tiebreaks, which could become critical later in the day. So 5 players on 11-2. Then we get to the 10-3s. This takes you down to 18th place. As I've mentioned, Frank Karsten is there. There is some serious serious talent on this mark. Let's take you through the list. Dominik Konieczny, the overnight leader from Poland, 2-3 so far. He needs to halt the slide. Now he's back in block constructed. From the US, Ben Kostrel. Then we have Guillaume Medeiros Mejian from Brazil. There is another Brazilian on 10-3. That is Paulo Vita Dalma de Rosa. Had a sluggish start, came back 5-1 in draft, and now continuing to win in block constructed. So he is within shouting distance of the top eight. 10th place right now is from Canada, Jamie Archdeacon. Then we have Hall of Famer Zvi Moshevitz. 12th from the United States, Andres Suarez. Next up, a Grand Prix winner, Zohar Bhagat. You do not mess with the Zohar, as the saying goes. Then Japanese, represented by Yoshihiko Ikawa. If you remember the name, he was in the top eight of San Diego last time around, and he is in exactly the same outfit again here on Pro Tour Saturday. Wonder whether that's bringing him luck. David Ochoa, 1-0 down to Frank Karsten. From Australia, Jeremy Neiman, one of their best players. And so 18 players sit within 6 points of Matignon. And then from 19th all the way down to 48th, everyone there is on 9-4. So one of the big questions is, will someone on X and 4 make it in? So some of the players who are X and 4, they're headed by Noah Swartz. He went 2-0, 2-0, 2-0, 2-0, 2-0, 2-0, 2-0, getting to 7-0 without dropping a game, but then lost the last round last night and has not had a great time since. Gerald Leitzinger is an Austrian player. Lucas Blahon is the leading Czech player right now. From Japan, Yuta Sasaki, Shuhei Nakamura. Taisuke Ishii is on this group as well. Niels Norlander of the Netherlands, doing very nicely, made the top eight, or the top four rather, of teams at Worlds in Rome. Jeremy Desani from France, he's an up-and-coming player, someone well worth watching on the European circuit. Mike Jacob is 9-4 from the United States, and a couple of others further down. Ben Rubin eliminated Brian Kibler in the last round last night, having gone 0-2, both of them in their draft. Jan Roos, former top eight man, a couple of times. Gardenis Vidugiris, level 7 this year. David Schaafman, done very well on the Star City Games circuit. And a couple of other big names, kind of from the past. Bernardo da Costa Cabral of Belgium. Bram Snetvangers of the Netherlands. So just a ton of great names. Even Simon Gertsen is there, down the bottom of the tie breaks, but he will be hoping for a miracle in the last three rounds. So we're underway again in Karsten Ochoa, and this time Ochoa has some land as he runs out off Raging Ravine and Mountain. He's got a Misty Rainforest uncracked, a Scalding Tarn uncracked, and here is a Lotus Cobra. Karsten's turn two was Everflowing Chalice 4-1. So Ochoa now is looking like he may be going pretty nutty, and the whole Lotus Cobra, can I have a ton of land this turn, stakes. Let's see if we're also underway in Matignon. Nelson, they're just getting ready to start their game two. So Ochoa cracks his Scalding Tarn for an island using the Zendikar full art. And he looks at his Misty Rainforest and just says, yeah, that's my extra mana going into my pool. So let's see what he's going to do with it. Karsten just sitting patiently, arms crossed, looks at the four cards in Ochoa's hand, and there goes the Misty Rainforest for Ochoa. And this time he fetches out another island. So we have island, island, Raging Ravine and Mountain, three mana just sitting waiting to be put to good use. Remember, you don't get mana burned anymore, that's gone from the game. So he can use as much or as little of this as he likes. And if I were a betting man, I would imagine we are about to see Jace the Mind Sculptor. And there it is. And instantly, Ochoa goes straight into brainstorm mode. So he draws three cards and then we'll have to put two back on top of his library. Looks like a pretty easy decision from here. As Frank again just sits there, nodding stoically. And now we are underway in Nelson Matignon. And just in time to see a stagger shock from Matignon for the Jiraga Tree Speaker of Nelson, who has Nest Invader and the accompanying spawn token as the only creature permanents in play right now. So he's got a couple of forests there. Let's see what he can do with that. So in comes the Nest Invader to attack for two. It's not something you see a ton of, but that's getting the job done. Land number 3, it's another forest. Sacrifice the spawn token. Here's Kozilek's Predator. And here are two more guys. So now Predator, Nest Invader, double spawn token, and three forests face Raging Ravine, Island, and Forest for Matignon. So on the rebound, here comes Stagger Shock. The Nest Invader goes to Brad Nelson's graveyard. Matignon lays land number 4. Here's a Kozilek's Predator of his own. Two more spawn tokens. So it's a matched board at the moment. Kozilek's Predators and two spawn tokens on either side. Back to Ochoa against Karsten. Not a lot extra has gone on here. Karsten has cast Sea Beyond, so he will draw two cards and then shuffles a card back into his library. Ochoa has Jace the Mind Sculptor at 3 and Lotus Cobra currently sitting in play. So looks like Brad is being very Japanese and tapping the table with the possibilities as he counts up quite how much damage he can do. Remember, he won game one with a Beastmaster's Ascension and the blistering attack that put paid to the Frenchman's chances. Matignon very much with in the box seat, though, as far as the tournament goes overall. Three rounds to go. You would feel that any kind of result in the next three rounds would see him safely into his first Pro Tour Top 8. So Nelson decides to sacrifice one of his spawn tokens, taps his three forests, and then casts Vengevine with haste and goes in with Kozilek's Predator. The Vengevine goes through. Kozilek's Predator trades with the French Predator, and we are back with Guillaume Matignon. Matignon rearranges his mana. He's got 6 available right now, plus the chance to add a 7th should he play a land. Raging Ravine, Island, Double Forest, and 2 Eldrazi Spawn, facing Vengevine Spawn and 3 Forests. So 2 Forests for Matignon get tapped, and the Island, and his Seagate Oracle. So, have a look at those. He checks his hand, checks the 2 that he could have again, puts one into his hand, the other goes to the bottom. Chance to draw some action. And here's a fetch land, it's Scalding Tarn. It's playing in an interesting selection of languages, Matignon. Plenty of his cards are French, as you'd expect, but we've seen some rather nice Russian fetch lands going on. But whatever language, whether it's French or English, Japanese, Russian, everyone speaking the language of magic. We all know what Seagate Oracle does. Well, some of us do. Nelson shuffling Matignon's deck. Let's head back to Karsten. And Ochoa now has run out Oracle of Maldai. Now, that combination, Oracle of Maldai with Jace the Mind Sculptor, is pretty impressive, because remember, the Oracle of Maldai lets you lay extra land every turn. You play with the top card of your library revealed. Jace gives you the chance to set up the top of your deck. It's a bit of a machine in terms of thinning your library, as Ochoa shows that Sphinx of Lost Truths is on top of his library right now. He has 2 mana, courtesy of Lotus Cobra. He's going to run out Goblin Ruin Blaster with Kicker. Celestial Colonnade will go to Karsten's graveyard, and now in. And now Ochoa will pile in, dropping Karsten to 16 as things stand. And although he has Everflowing Chalice at 1, he has Celestial Colonnade and a Plains, and that is all. So he looks like he's in pretty deep trouble here in game 2. He is, however, 1 game to the good. So back at Matignon and Nelson. The Seagate Oracle, Eldrazi Spawn, and now Awakening Zone comes down for Matignon. Brad Nelson has cast Beastmaster's Ascension, got 1 counter onto it. He's got Lotus Cobra down as well. So, Vengevine, Eldrazi Spawn, Lotus Cobra, Beastmaster's Ascension at 1. Nelson says, here's another Vengevine. Emrakul Hatcher came down for Matignon last turn. 2 more attackers from Brad. It's double Vengevine, Beastmaster's Ascension goes to 3. So, Matignon with his 4 tokens, Seagate Oracle, Emrakul's Hatcher, and Awakening Zone, which will start generating him tokens. He has also 2 cards in hand right now. The crowd's starting to get bigger. I noticed Xiang Zhang from China. I'll get used to that eventually. Team World Champion. It's great to see him and Wu Tong, his teammate, travel to Grand Prix Washington last week, an event won by Brad Nelson. and they are here again trying their luck at the Pro Tour. They're a great addition to the world of Magic, the Chinese. So one Vengevine gets taken out by the Emrakul's Hatcher. Now here's Sea Beyond for Matignon, but that Beastmaster Ascension is creeping upwards. So what's Achoa up to? Karsten has had a pretty decent turn there, it must be said. He's found a land, 4 mana, Wall of Omens, drew him a card, Journey to Nowhere, takes out Oracle of Maldaya, and I say a pretty reasonable turn. So Achoa is pondering his options with Goblin Rune Blaster, Lotus Cobra, and Jace the Mind Sculptor currently set at 3. Has a big grip of cards right now, looks like 5 at the moment. Plenty of land in play, so that one is starting to look like it's getting pretty complicated. Matignon against Nelson, though, starting to look like we're heading towards an endgame. Beastmaster Ascension is down for Matignon as well, and he is going to send 4 guys, 3 Eldrazi Spawn and a Seagate Oracle, putting Beastmaster Ascension to 4. 3 on Nelson's side, 4 on Matignon's side. And Calney Garden brings out a token for Matignon. So, back we go to Nelson. Beastmaster Ascension is at 3. Vengevine, Spawn, Lotus Cobra. The trigger on Beastmaster Ascension is all about the number 7. Not 6. 7. Right now he can get it to 6 with Vengevine, Spawn, and Lotus Cobra. He has a Vengevine in the graveyard. Ooh, Nest Invader plus token. Arbor Elf, there's Vengevine back. So now he can get to 7, 4, 5, 6, 7. There it is. He's got to 7. In come the team. Blockity, 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 block. And that sends tons away. This is real Haymaker magic. As we go back to Matignon, he's got Awakening Zone. Down comes a token. He has 3 more that could attack this turn. He has Seagate Oracle. Matignon looks at 2 cards. Nelson has 1 in hand. There is Eldrazi Monument from Matignon. He attacks. Nelson looks. Nelson looks. And that is enough. So Matignon equalizes at 1 game all. With Eldrazi Monument, they become indestructible, they get bigger, they take to the air. It isn't just about Kozilek, Butcher of Truth, Ulamog, the Infinite Gaia, or even 1515 Emrakul, the Eon's Torn. It is about the Eldrazi Monument that's been around for a while, getting the job done for the Frenchman. So they are at 1-1. Karsten, meanwhile, is 1 to the good over David Achoa. But he is being attacked brutally. He's down to just 3. Raging Ravine, Goblin Rune Blaster, Lotus Cobra, Jace the Mind Sculptor at 3. Karsten has a Wall of Omens as his defense. 4 land, Everflowing Chalice set up 1. A Journey to Nowhere having got rid of Oracle of Maldaya. Achoa has 5 cards. Karsten has 5 cards. But Karsten has just 3 life. So let's see what he can do with it. He casts another Wall of Omens, and Karsten offers that up, aware that Achoa might decide to attempt to counter it. Although I can see a Deprive has already been to the graveyard. That was Sphinx of Lost Truths that got countered at last turn. So that resolves. Karsten lays Sigiri's Step and adds 33% to his life total from 3 to 4. And we go back to Achoa. So the shield's trying to be up, but that is a tough proposition because Raging Ravine already has 2 counters on it. Goblin Rune Blaster, Lotus Cobra, Jace the Mind Sculptor. And Achoa looking at his mana, looking at the 5 cards he's got in hand. And he cracks Scalding Tarn. We've seen already some terrific action here today. The second half of the draft has occurred. 3 more rounds of Rise of the Eldrazi draft, 6 in total. And if memory serves, there were 6 undefeated drafters during this event. They certainly included Sam Black and David Schaffman of the United States. Palavita Dom De Rosa went 5-1. I've already mentioned him. And Daisuke Ishii, one of the Japanese players who are still in the hunt at 9-4. He obviously had a difficult time with what constructed yesterday, but came roaring back to make it 6-0 in draft. So Ochoa uses the Jace's ability to bounce one of the walls back to hand, and he attacks with everything. Carsten looks and says, yes, you got me, and we will go to a game three in both our feature matches here in round 14 of Pro Tour San Juan. So we are underway in the decider between Nelson and Matsuyama. It looks to me like both players have mulliganed pretty severely. Nelson has gone County Garden turn one for his bonus plant, Forest turn two. Rage and Ravine is open for Matignon. He adds Misty Rainforest, which he instantly cracks, putting himself to 19. And one would imagine this might mystically turn into an island sometime soon. Indeed it does. Full art again, the mode of choice for the Frenchman. And he shuffles them up. I wonder whether he's got a turn to play there as Carsten and Ochoa continue to shuffle prior to their decider. You would feel neither of these matches are elimination quite at this stage, although Ochoa and Carsten know that there are 30-odd players snapping at their heels, and 15 of those are going to get their way up onto the same record as the loser, so neither of those will want to lose ground. Matignon, pretty much guaranteed top 8 if he wins here, one would think for sure. And Nelson would get to 36 points if he wins. And one would feel that that would put him very, very close to the top 8 with two rounds to go. So there was indeed a turn 2 play from Matignon. It's the one he would have wanted. It's Nest Invader with accompanying Eldrazi Spawn. Nelson, turn 3, has made Beastmaster Ascension. Such a key card this weekend amongst the top decks. Card that quite a lot of people missed, I think it's fair to say. If you weren't sort of up to speed, perhaps if you weren't in a major testing group, you wouldn't necessarily have seen quite how important Beastmaster Ascension might turn out to be. As Matignon uses Burst Lightning to kill off the token, he does not have a Beastmaster Ascension down yet. 4 mana. This could be Avengevine, but in fact is Kozilek Predator for Nelson. So he now accelerates and also has the chance to get some attacking done. It is in his interest at the moment to get attacking. Matignon, of course, won his game with Eldrazi Monument. Brad won his with Beastmaster Ascension. The Beastmaster Ascension is in play, but with no counters on at the moment, as the Frenchman just holds the back of his neck, and he's such an expressive player, Matignon. And he's been around the Pro Tour. I think this is Pro Tour number 12 for him. He's a level 4 from France. Tests a lot with the other Guillaume Wafatapa. Takes magic very, very seriously. Feels he hasn't really had a lot of luck. Just talking to him feels, you know, he's been in and around the chance to do well and just hasn't quite happened for him. But it certainly has so far this weekend as he sits at 12-1. So out comes Kozilek's Predator for him. He has to use a spawn token to create it, so he just gets one bonus overall. We go back to Nelson with County Garden, 3 forests, 2 tokens, a Kozilek's Predator, and a Beastmaster Ascension. Carsten has kept his opening hand. Hope you listened to the show from the Dutch and Belgian beach house. Frank said Moraine Lybert would be winning the Pro Tour. Moraine said Frank would be winning the Pro Tour. Well, only Moraine can be right. Moraine was long gone, unfortunately, at this event. But Carsten, the Hall of Famer, putting together the metagame breakdown from all the Magic Online data, came up with the deck he's got, this blue-white, essentially, control deck. Let's see what he can do with it in the decider. But we will stick with Nelson against Matignon for right now. Nelson attacked with the Kozilek Predator, traded for Matignon's, gets the first counter onto his Beastmaster Ascension. He casts Juraga Tree Speaker and lays the first counter onto there. So that can generate some mana next time around, except it will not, because there is another kick in the teeth with the red removal from Guillaume Matignon, sending it packing. And now here is Beastmaster Ascension for him, and he will send four creatures into the red zone, facing just two Eldrazi spawn tokens. So the Beastmaster Ascension is looking pretty good at the moment for Matignon. Spawn gets in the way of Nest Invader, and then that is a naturalize from Nelson for the Beastmaster Ascension. That could be pretty key, so he has the advantage on the Ascension. It's like a Jissy War all of a sudden, where Beastmaster Ascension, the three casting cost enchantment, is who wins the Jiddy War. So Nelson goes in with his spawn token. It's not for damage, it's for a counter on the Beastmaster Ascension. And then he runs out Wolfbrite Elemental. And Matignon has a grin at that, but it will not be a grin that he particularly enjoys, one would think. The Wolfbriar Elemental is an actual threat on the board. Nest Invader, two Eldrazi spawn, and a plant for Matignon. He has four mana available to him right now. One of them is a Raging Ravine. Ochoa and Karsten are now underway. And Lotus Cobra from Ochoa on turn two was met with Journey to Nowhere on turn three from Karsten. Explore from Ochoa draws him a card, enables him to accelerate up, and says, there's my extra land, if that's all right with you. He then passes the turn. Evolving Wilds gets sacrificed by Karsten to find an island. So the early going is set. Let's head into the conclusion of Matignon against Nelson. It's getting tight. See Beyond from Matignon. He has a look at those two cards and sends one away. Gets one into hand. How many does he have in hand? Looks like three cards right now in hand. Matignon runs out a bunch of Eldrazi spawn. He's got Emrakul's Hatcher, three more, but he does not have Beastmaster Ascension in play. Nelson is down to two, as more damage takes out Wolfbriar Elemental. And now Nelson casts Kozilek Predator. Let's see what that does for him. So, since the rules say you have to go in, Ochoa went in. And do we have more chicanery? We have a Scalding Tarn sitting there. Now Choa's casting. 1, 2, 3, 4. He says Sphinx of Lost Truths on his own. Casting has two mana available. Two cards available. And Gideon Jura has bitten the dust, of course. No surprise. And Karsten is just going to sit there and try and work out whether, well, for a start, whether he wants to represent Deprive. And secondly, if he has it, whether he wants to cast Deprive. But, at the moment, he's two attacks away from victory, in that he has double Sphinx of Lost Truth, so that would deal six. And the thing is, of course, Jace the Mind Sculptor could, theoretically, let things send Sphinx of Lost Truth back to hand. But if he lets it resolve, then Ochoa will at least see three cards deeper into his library. And as we've been discussing, Ochoa has plenty of mana. Plenty of mana. So, Utter Leighton and LSV, watch on for their man. Gregoire and Stone and Date, watch on for their man. And around us, the crowd grows and grows and grows as the round goes on. Frank Karsten, a master at eking out every minute of every round to get maximum magic entertainment. Eventually he says, yes, that resolves. So three cards go into David Ochoa's hand. He has five. That will go back down to two because he could not kick, or did not kick, at the Sphinx of Lost Truths. So what will go away? One would imagine any land that he has available might, although that said, Avenger of Zendikar might appreciate some land coming into play. And to be fair, from that position of lots of land and not much else going on, Choa's kind of finding his way back into this. And wonders what's in Karsten's hand and whether he really did have the Deprive, if he did, whether he will ultimately regret not casting it, we will see. Daniel Grafensteiner wanders by, he had a great start but has sort of fallen somewhat from grace. He was, I think, 4-1 in block constructed, maybe even 5-0. But Ochoa passes the turn back to Carsten with double Sphinx of Lost Truths against single Sphinx. 953 Avenger tokens. Oh, actually, 7 of them. Seagate Oracle, Goblin Rune Blaster, and the Avenger himself. It was, of course, 5-5. No mean little effort there. So Carsten taps 5. This is going to be Gideon number 2. Guess that would be no surprise. It is indeed Gideon number 2. And what does Ochoa do about that? 1-1 as he has 2 cards in hand. Remember, he was able to do the triple loot ability thanks to his Sphinx of Lost Truths, and he will cast Spell Pierce at that and say, I would like to counter that unless you pay 2. Well, Frank has 2 available. It will, however, tap him out. And he says, I will pay my 2. The Spell Pierce goes away. Gideon resolves. 6 loyalty counters go straight on, and it's going to go up to 8. And once again, David Ochoa will be forced to attack into Gideon, one assumes. So now Carsten must decide, does he go in with both Sphinx of Lost Truths? One of them will get through, that would put Ochoa to 4. And then in theory, depending on the next turn, could be game over. And Carsten could be one step closer to a top 8 with 2 rounds to go. Or can Ochoa pull it out? And Carsten has decided to send Jace to 6. He has bounced the Sphinx of Lost Truth and he has attacked for 6 flying with his 2 Sphinx. Ochoa is at 1. 1 life. What can he do? He goes into the tank, and that's where Carsten has spent so much of his time historically down the years. And Carsten tapped out. Gideon at 8. Jace at 6. 2 tapped. Sphinx of Lost Truths. 3-5. He has a Wall of Omens. Landfall. That works for the Avenger. Now all the tokens have 2. Ochoa obliged, remember, to attack into Gideon unless there is a way for him to get rid of Gideon. He is going to cast Comet Storm. Oh my, he checks. So let's see how this resolves itself. Cho has tapped everything in sight. Oh no, it's needing now untapping. Nope. And it looks like both the Sphinx are going to be gone. They are. Gideon is gone. Everything has come in. We go back to Carsten, who is now looking in desperate trouble. The remaining card for Ochoa was just what he needed to wipe the board. He is at just 1 life. Frank has a shrug. That does not look like a day of judgment face to me. He has to be said. I'm going to brainstorm. Is there a day of judgment in the top 3? What has he got there? What has he found there? Does he have enough? He got rid of a day of judgment earlier in the proceedings. I am not sure that he has an answer. And it is just possible that David Ochoa is going to get the job done. Because Carsten, even though he has a Wall of Omens in hand, which would draw him a card, he has to send 2 back to the top of his library. He's counting up. There are 10 monsters on Ochoa's side of the board. Carsten raises his eyebrows again. He is desperately trying to find a way out. I am not sure there is one. If anyone can find it, it'll be the Hall of Famer. He has activated Jace already this turn. He has a Wall of Omens. Does he have any kind of land defense he can run out? What's his colonnade count? Just looking there, looks like an awful lot of refuges. Not a lot else. Karsten puts two on the top. Does he have a fetch land? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He runs out Sphinx of Lost Truths. He will draw 3. And then he will have to discard 3. So he's left himself 2 mana open. 4 on Wall of Omens. That would give him defense for 3. But as things stand, he's at 13. And I have a sneaking feeling that that will be exactly lethal, even with a Wall of Omens. So Karsten continues to sit in the tank. We are closing in on the end of this round. So many times before, I've stood watching Frank Karsten find a way to get it done. You are always guaranteed a white knuckle ride with the Dutch Hall of Famer. He shakes his head. That's the first outward sign that he thinks he may be in trouble. And Ochoa, who has just been so patient in this game, 1,000,001 lands to start with. Has he found a way to get it done? The clock is less than 7 minutes left in the round, just about 7.5 minutes to go. Karsten, head in hands, can he navigate his way out of this? Well, answer, depends whether Ochoa attacks Jace. But will he attack Jace? That little sort of sound effect of a hand slap you heard, that was Brad Nelson high-fiving Josh Adelaide, which suggests to me that Josh may have been victorious and moved to 12. Wall of Omens, that draws Karsten a card. So now, there we are, he's tapped out. He lays Celestial Colonnade, passes the turn, and Wall of Omens, Wall of Omens, Sphinx of Lost Truths is the defense.
I think so too. 13, these are the 3 largest creatures.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking as well.
There's the handshake. Ochoa says, you know what, there are the 3 largest creatures, Avenger, 2 tokens, and I still get through with 5 tokens, Goblin Ruin Blaster, and Sea Gate Oracle for exactly 13 damage. And that Comet Storm did it for Ochoa. An extraordinary game of Magic. And David Ochoa advances, moves to 33 points, still with 3 losses. Karsten will join the X and Fours, who start into the world of tiebreak hell, as we suspect, but we will see with 2 rounds to go. So we will see if we can get a word with David Ochoa after that match. Extraordinary game of Magic. And he really kept his nerve. Cannot fault him for that. And also, let's just see if we can get a quick word with Josh Adelaide. Josh, how'd you go that round?
I won it. I am now locked for top 8, I believe.
Really? Okay, so at 12 wins, you think that's enough and you'll be able to sort of intentionally draw in from there?
I believe so, yeah.
Well, we're not in the business of saying congratulations till it's a lock, it's a lock, it's a lock. But yep. I've got to say, you're looking pretty pleased with life.
I am.
Okay. How much would it mean to you if that was confirmed, that you were in your first Pro Tour Top 8?
It's pretty awesome. I don't have words for it. I don't know.
I mean, you're one of the players within what is a pretty storied community now, Channel Fireball. There are some pretty heavy hitters out there. It's not just LSV, but we can talk about Brad Nelson. We can talk about Paolo Vida, Dama de Rosa. We can talk about David Ochoa just behind us in the feature match area, watching you in LSV, watching him win again. And you're the guy that everyone talks about as, yeah, well, you've heard of these guys, but, you know, it's Raptor who's really the guy that we're waiting to see put up the numbers.
Yeah, well, never won a match in a Pro Tour before, so...
Really?
Well, not exactly, but, you know, but never done
felt
anything.
Like that.
Yeah, I've never done well in a Pro Tour before.
Okay. So, how have you found the stretch? How has it been coming down the stretch, getting back to Block Constructed? Did it feel like coming home when you picked up the deck again?
Not really. Like, I don't know. My mind was kind of on Drastel, but picked it up, and I guess it felt right back at home again, you know, once I was casting, you know, turn 3 Oracle and Jace.
Yeah, that's pretty naughty, isn't it? I mean, that's pretty rude. I think one of the lessons, and people always sometimes say block constructed, it's a very small format and it doesn't have a PTQ season, for example. Uh-huh. But there are always lessons out of block for builders. And I think one of the big ones this time around, it's so clear, is that you want to try and do unfair things. And fundamentally, Oracle of Moldiah and Jace the Mind Sculptor, that's unfair. Fair magic.
Yeah, completely agree. Basically, in this format, Jace is by far the most powerful card, the most powerful thing you can be doing, and this is the Jace deck, as far as I'm concerned. You have, you know, 8 accelerators to get the turn 3 Jace, you have Oracle and Moldiah to really break Jace, you have, you know, Lotus Cobra, Oracle, Jace as an engine to just do completely broken things. I think that this deck is just unfair.
Would you have wanted block constructed for the top 8? Or do you like your chances with it?
I'm indifferent.
You'll just beat people either way.
I like draft too. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we hope that you are correct about that. Let's see if we can have a word with David Ochoa, who's just beaten the Hall of Fame, Frank Carsten. Now, David, you are someone who it's very hard to read at a table, and, you know, I know you're pretty calm, but I got to say, in that third game, early on, I'm looking, you've got 4 lands in play, you've got 968 lands in hand, and nothing else in the entire world. And Carsten's on the other side, he's no mug, he's journeyed to nowhere, your Lotus Cobra, he's sitting there with Sphinx of Lost Truths, he's got a ton of cards in hand. I'm thinking, we're done. What are you thinking, then?
Well, it was definitely hard to come back from that, just having a mulligan at 6 and starting with 5 lands, but, you know, the deck is pretty good, and I was able to chain some cantrips and stuff into leveraging a good board position, getting him to tap out for when I could play Avenger after he had discarded a bunch of removal to the Sphinxes.
Yeah, now, you must have been looking at that and seeing Day of Judgment go and Day of Judgment go again, and then in the end, in that final turn, he's sitting there, and you must have just been praying, don't see another Day of Judgment, because that would have been a real breaker.
Yeah, that would have set me back a bit. I would have still had the Sphinx, but he would have had Jace and a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah,
because he was drawing a lot of cards.
All right, so looking at the standings, you've gone from 15th place upwards, takes you to 33, 11-3. What do you think you might need to do in the last 2 rounds? Do you even think about that?
No, I just play. I don't bother looking at standings much. But if I win next round, I'll probably be able to draw in.
And it certainly looks like you might be having some teammates around you.
Yeah, Raptor's locked for top 8 right now, and
looks like Brad's in pretty reasonable shape too.
Yeah, I don't know if Brad won his future match, but he's doing pretty well also.
Yeah, he got an ID with Guillaume Matignon in the end. They played it out and then just sort of took the point each. So he's still in the running. What do you put that down to? Tell us about the testing regime. Who you've been testing with?
Well, we were testing with Michael Jacob, Eva Freak, Luis, Raptor, myself, Ben Stark, Tom Ross, and Martin Jusins, and Matej Zeldikaj.
Yep.
And we were just, we got a beach house and just ran games, and this is what we ended up coming out with. Mm-hmm. A few of us splintered off, our group ended up playing this, and it's been proven to be pretty good.
Pretty good, absolutely. All right, well, congratulations on that win over Carsten. It was a real triumph of patience that last game, because any number of players would have packed it in a long time before you finally pulled it out. So that congratulations to David. Thank you very much to him. And so, from the feature match area, with 2 rounds to go of Pro Tour San Juan, we are closing in on the second top 8 of the Pro Tour season. Join myself and Brian David Marshall. I am off now from the podcasting duties. I will be back with the Tournament Center later in the day, bringing you all the end of day wrap, of course, and then tomorrow it's the live webcast, 10:45 a.m. Eastern Coast Time, and we will be bringing you the live draft, the top 8 draft, 42 picks, I think that's right, yep, 3 14s of 42, so 42 picks of Rise of the Eldrazi draft for our 8 remaining players. We will bring you the quarterfinals live, we will bring you the semifinals live, and then the championship match late in the afternoon. We will bring you someone winning $40,000 on the turn of a card. Until we meet again later from San Juan, I'm your host, Richard Hagen, saying bye.